The following audio message is from Neighborhood Church in Overland Park, Kansas. At Neighborhood Church, we seek to be a community that loves God and our neighbors together. If you would like to learn more about Neighborhood Church, please go to www.neighborhoodchurchop.com.
My name is Dave Parton, the pastor here, and what a privilege and a blessing it is to get to spend the next 30 minutes or so in God's Word as we study what Jesus has done for us today through the Scriptures. If you need to use a Bible, there's some under the chairs in front of you. If you don't have a Bible or need a new Bible, feel free to take that Bible home with you as our gift. We'll be in Romans chapter 10 today. So that's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10 is where our passage is coming from today. If you were invited by a friend or a family member, I'm glad you said yes. I'm glad you said, sure, I'll spend my Sunday morning there with you at your church. And what a blessing it is to come and even begin in prayer and in song about the work that Jesus has done for us. As a church, at Neighborhood Church, we're a fairly new church. We're only about 7 years old, but our desire is to love God and our neighbors together, and that's kind of what we hope to do, is that we point each other to a loving God who did all the work for us, and that through that love that he's displayed and showed and took the first step, now we can love one another, and we choose to not do that alone, but we choose to do that together. So that's why we say loving God and our neighbors together. We study books of the Bible normally during this time, so we kind of read through a book of the Bible, chapter by chapter or paragraph by paragraph at times, and as I said, we're in Romans 10. My heart for you is that if the Bible's not a part of your life, that you would consider reading it. The book of John's a great place to start. If you haven't picked up the Bible in a while, it's a story of Jesus, and it ends with a beautiful resurrection story, as we're going to talk about today. As we go through Romans, we need to recognize where it's at in the Scriptures. In the New Testament, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels. Those are the first four books. And those are four perspectives from different men who are telling us about the life and teachings of Jesus. And they're great examples of what it means to see Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been displayed to us who Jesus is, his teachings. And if you have a red letter Bible, that's where most of those red letters are, in those Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then after that's the book of Acts. It's just a story of after Jesus ascended, after his resurrection, then he ascended into heaven. Then it's like, how did the church start? How did this begin? And that's a couple thousand years ago, the history book of Acts. But the very next book, it's called Romans. And Romans is kind of a theological book. Like, how in the world can sinners who are in rebellion against God, how can they come to faith in God and then be saved? How can they be welcomed into heaven and into God's kingdom? And my hope today, as we read part of that book of Romans today, you'll see it's just one part of the story, but it's a very important part of the story as we talk today. Jesus, he lived a perfect life. He displayed to us on this earth how to never say yes to sin. He always said no to sin. He lived a sinless life. And then when it came down to what his mission and calling was, to be obedient to his Father God, to go to a cross, to die on that execution, those beams of execution for humanity's sin, he said yes to that, and he died. But the beautiful story, the story we just sang about over and over again, is that Jesus, through the power of God, rose from the dead and lives. And then, of course, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father and still is with us today. Jesus walked out of the grave on Resurrection Sunday. He spent time with 500 plus people and taught. And Jesus was unlike any other person that had come back from the dead that we read in the Scriptures. There's a handful of stories. And when those folks, other than Jesus, came back from the dead, they just became people again. But when Jesus came back from the dead, as we read the stories in the Gospels, he wasn't just the same kind of man that he was before that walked on water. He walked through walls. He glowed in a way. He kind of came and went almost as a new way of displaying the Son of God to humanity. And we know this by the way the disciples went from kind of wimps, kind of runners of followers of Jesus from the arrest of Christ, where they denied even knowing Jesus, to something on Sunday morning that they became warriors in a whole book of Acts. And in the New Testament, we learn of these men who shared the gospel, these women who pushed the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is and his message forward, so that 2,000 years later, there's still people who believe and trust in Christ. What happened? What changed them? And I believe they saw Jesus rise from the dead. But as we look into Romans, we recognize that Paul, the writer of this letter to the book, to the people in Rome, this book that we call Romans, he's wanting to teach them something. And our theme verse has been Romans 1:16. I'll put it up on the screen for you here. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." The Gentile means the non-Jew. First to the Jew and then to the non-Jew. And before I read Romans 10:5-13, I want us to recognize that Paul is continuing to share his argument on how in the world can we be saved? And maybe you came today just because somebody invited you to church, just because you wanted to be kind, or just because maybe you're interested in this. What happens in those buildings on Sunday mornings? I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you see what we do is we celebrate Jesus and the work that he has done on our behalf. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Salvation's not achieved by family lineage. It's not achieved by following the letter of the law, but through faith alone in Jesus. Let me pray before we begin reading. Holy Spirit, we need you as we read the scriptures, we study the Bible. May our lives be aligned to your will. May we recognize the most satisfied life is not the easiest life, but a life that follows you. And God, we know that this life has a purpose. It's greater than just our own existence or being happy every moment of the day, pursuing the ways of what our desires are. But there's a way of endless satisfaction into eternity through being in your will. As Jesus guided us, as Jesus died on the cross for us, as Jesus rose in power, may we recognize that we need to stand on the promises of God. So as we read your word this morning, help us understand it. Help us move into our days, into our relationships, knowing, God, that you have a plan and you have a plan to save. It's in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Romans 10:5 says this. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them, but the righteous that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." And I know sometimes when we just read passages out of nowhere, especially you're visiting with us, you're like, I don't know what in the world that says. And you're not alone. I preach this stuff. I'm like, what does that say, right? It takes sometimes, you got to read above. Like, you got to read above. You got to read what the letter's about to get an idea. But this is where we are in our passage today on Easter. And I hope today, as we study the scriptures, that you'll recognize, oh, I kind of see what's going on now in the Bible. And what I just want to share with you, what happened last week and the 2 weeks prior, is that there's this battle between being righteous, like in right standing or being right with God. There's a way to be righteous by following all the laws, all the commandments that God ever gave. Follow all of those. There's a righteousness. God's like, I'm happy with you because you did everything right. But there's another righteousness that's not based on us living perfectly, but another. And we call that a righteousness by faith. So as we just read that, a righteousness by law or righteousness by faith, that'll be a theme today. So I'm saying it a couple times because it's got to get in our heads to understand, am I right with God because of doing a bunch of things right? Or am I right with God because somebody else did a bunch of things right? And when it comes to reading passages like this that are in quotes, oftentimes it's Paul, in a way, giving a sermon that he's referencing a book. So I'm kind of referencing Romans, this letter that he wrote, but Paul is referencing another book. And the book that Paul is referencing is a book called Deuteronomy, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Old Testament. And it's like a bunch of laws being told again and again and again, and Moses is interacting with the people of God. And I want to read this to you because it's literally the passage that Paul is talking about in Romans. And you may have never known this because we're going to read some passages that are very familiar to you, but we're going to see where they came from, okay? So when we study the Bible together, we recognize it's a pretty thick book, right? And it kind of references itself throughout because there's one author, the author God, over, you know, a couple thousand years, over 40 authors, that's one story. So it kind of references itself. And I'm going to read this Deuteronomy passage from Deuteronomy 30, 11 through, we'll go through 18, okay? This is Moses talking to the Israelites, you know, thousands of years before Jesus, okay? Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up to heaven, up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity. You can picture Moses saying this. Israelites, I set before you life and prosperity or death and destruction. He puts these side by side. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience in him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away, bound down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. So we've heard two different passages, one about the Exodus story. Some may know the Exodus story where this is where Moses holds his hands up and the waters part and the Egyptians are chasing them because they're coming out of slavery. And then they go to Mount Sinai and they get 10 commandments. This is all the Moses. This is the beginning of the Bible. Exodus on with the laws. And Moses is trying to convince, just like we are today, you know, 4,000 years later, we're trying to convince like, okay, are we going to live a life that leads to blessing? Are we going to lead a life that leads to destruction? And as we're now in 2024, I'm still waking up going, am I going to lead a life that's blessing or am I going to lead a life that's destruction? And this is literally the passage that Paul is teaching us in Romans 10. Will you live a life of liberty and freedom where you love God and walk in his ways? And we must realize as we read the scriptures, and maybe you came to church today, or maybe you've always thought this, there's a God who has expectations for his people. And I don't know how you feel about that. It's not a distant God that says, here's a planet and here's some religious stuff, I'll be over here making black holes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no. No, God's here, he's present, he actually cares and expectations for people. And we realize that how and why does God do this? Well, it's because God loves us. And as God spoke to Adam and Eve, and as God spoke to the prophets, and as God spoke to men and women throughout the Bible, what he's saying is, I love you. I want you to be in right relationship with me, but it's complicated. It's not right because of sin, because we keep failing. He writes in Romans 10:5 about this righteousness that's by the law. Remember I mentioned like following all the commands. The person who does these things will live by them. That means live day by day by the law. And living by laws is one way to seek righteousness. Doing all the things, but it's perfect. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's the 100, 200 other laws. And the other laws, maybe the Pharisees that put on top. Like that's one way to live. Like trying to do all the things right every day. And I don't know about you, but maybe you present yourself, or you wake up in the morning and you decide to do things that you decide to do because of advice that people have given you, because you've read some things that were good. Maybe you gathered philosophies from over time all over the world, and you've kind of like, this is the right way to live for me. And you're trying to be disciplined. January 1st, right? Disciplined. Got it. But I don't know if you're like me, where this is kind of like the season where I'm recognizing summer's coming, right? I'm probably going to want to look a little better in the summertime, be more active, and probably should eat less sugar. And then I see that wall of peeps, right? And I'm like, I'm losing. I lost. I've got 3 stacks on my counter right now at home. Ready to go home and eat them before I eat my Easter lunch, right? Like, it's like I know what I want to do, and I know what I probably should do, but there's the wall of peeps. And I want to just let you guys know, when you live a life like that, where like all those things that you're like, I know what I should do and what I shouldn't do, and then you actually live that day, you're like, yeah, I didn't get that one right. It gets weighty. But living a life by the law, and not just your own personal philosophies, but literally the things that God said we should do every moment, we can recognize that it is a way. So point number one, perfectly following the law leads to salvation. If you're taking notes, point number one, perfectly following the law leads to salvation. But I would say most rational people in the room, this is not encouraging. This is very discouraging. I can't even get the peep thing right. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's so many things I get wrong. But let's see if there's another option as we continue reading. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14 is going to be quoted in this. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. What is he saying here? Well, okay, picture this for the first part, ascending upward. Say you're at the base of a mountain. We'll say Mount Everest because that's the biggest mountain I know. So Mount Everest, and you're there by yourself, right? And you have no equipment. And you're told, at the top of that mountain is treasure everlasting. All you got to do is make your way up there, get it, and make your way back down, and don't die. All of us die. Just so you know, I've seen documentaries. All of us die. You can't do it. And like it, just if that wasn't understandable, think about the deepest trench in the ocean. I don't know if you've seen these videos. They get really deep, right? That you have no equipment. And somebody says, at the bottom of the deepest trench is treasure everlasting. All you got to do is just go down there and get it and come back up and don't die. And you're like, who can do this? Point number two today. Perfectly following the law is impossible for us. Perfectly following the law, even your own laws, like it's impossible for us. We can't do it. So part of coming to faith in Jesus is recognizing that we've missed the mark, that we don't follow all the ways. Pick one commandment, right? Just pick one of them. It's like, yeah, I can't get that one right. But there's hope. There's hope. There's not just death and destruction as an option. And this is possibly why you came to church today. Maybe you've been feeling something like, man, I just feel like life's meaningless, or maybe life's painful, and is there any reason for it? Verse 9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Paul's using this heart and mouth, these terms from Deuteronomy 30. He's saying it's Jesus. It's all pointing to Jesus and faith in Jesus. It's Jesus' perfection that makes salvation possible for anyone who chooses to identify with him. That's our third point today. Jesus followed the law perfectly. He followed the law perfectly. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. It was the hard thing to understand is the cross. There was right judgment on the cross. But you're saying, but Jesus was perfect. Why was Jesus on the cross? But there was right judgment on the cross because there was sin involved. It just wasn't his. It was mine. It was yours. And that punishment was right because for all who believe, we are justified. He took our place. And when we identify with Jesus, we receive his perfection. The great exchange. He took our sin and he gave us his perfection. And this is how Paul connects his perfect obedience expectation back to the law of the Old Testament, is that Jesus Christ did fulfill that expectation that God had. It just wasn't by us. So when we call on the name of the Lord, when we identify him, as Paul uses that word multiple times, just call on the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, there's two components to that. One is we call on the name of Jesus as Savior. As Savior. We believe that he was killed on a cross. This perfect Jesus was killed on a cross and he died. And he resurrected for mankind as he rose from the dead. And we call on the name of Jesus as Lord. So the truth that he saved, he's a Savior who did the work, and then we call on the name of Jesus as Lord, that we will submit to him, that we will say, I'll follow you. Not, that's true, but I'm picking something else. Savior and Lord. It means you will live under the authority of Jesus in your life. So when our hearts and minds are open to this truth, and in humility we choose to not be gods ourselves, but to live under another authority, we are saved. Point number four, following Jesus leads to salvation. We no longer need to rely on being like trying to get everything right every day for all time. And then finally God will say, you've earned your way in. Good, congratulations. Because we all know that can't be true for us because we know ourselves. Jesus has done the work for us. And now we as Christians rest in the accomplishment that Christ provided. So we call him Lord. We call him Savior. And we are saved. Paul wrote in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. And it's pretty wild in this one sentence we talk about salvation that the only thing he brings up is the resurrection, that he rose from the dead. And I just want you to consider the idea that if you discount or remove the resurrection from Christianity, you remove the power of Christianity. And that's why Easter, we celebrate this wonderful, powerful moment where Jesus Christ conquers death. Because he shows he wasn't just a teacher with a message that chose to be sacrificial with his life. But he was a teacher with a message who was the Son of God, who his life became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was arrested. People denied even knowing him, his disciples, his followers. But then a few days later, as I mentioned, they were running to him, talking to him, hoping to see him again, touching the wounds on his body. And as I consider the disciples as people, as you and I, these early followers, and I think of people That's pretty convincing. That just an arrest of your leader, you'll run away. But when seeing him alive again, you'll say, stone me before I say Jesus is not real. And that's what we find. So all of us today have to recognize if the resurrection is true, then all of it's true. But if it's false, we're wasting our time. And I stand before you today, I believe it's true. There's a boldness and a confidence and a transformation we find in those that saw the resurrection. And we know their stories, and their message has moved to today. It's still alive. The boldness, the confidence of Jesus Christ and his work. We put our faith in what Jesus has done for us, and we are saved. So look at the train of thought today and our message as we review the points. Perfectly following the law leads to salvation. True. Perfectly following the law is impossible for us. True. Jesus followed the law perfectly. True. So now following Jesus is our salvation. Amen? Amen. That's how it works. The Bible didn't break. Jesus just fulfilled the expectation. Moses wasn't wrong. He just put a bar that nobody could actually jump over until the Son of God came. Friends, I don't know where you are today in your faith, if any of those things make sense to you yet, or in your heart you've ever thought, you know what, I need to become less and God needs to become more. But my hope is today that you would consider that Easter Sunday 2024. I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus, that you would stop trying to win your way into a right standing with others and with a God. But that you would say, Jesus, thank you for doing everything needed. I accept you. Let's bow our heads with a time of response this morning. It's just a time of prayer. So just whatever you're doing, maybe take a break from that just for a couple minutes. Let's just independently consider where we are with God. If you're in the room and you would not say, Jesus is your king. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your main number one authority. I would hope right now during a time of prayer, you would consider saying yes. And in your heart, you would say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pray along with me if you would like to do this. Jesus, I have sinned and I have not been obedient to all your laws. I am sorry for my sins. I believe you are the Savior. I believe you're the one who died and rose again. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. I want to follow you with my whole life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for welcoming into your family and giving me your righteousness. And as we stay in a time of prayer, I just want to ask, if you today have chosen to lay your life down and to pick up the life of Jesus as your Savior and Lord, And as we read, you will say Jesus is Lord. Maybe this morning that you would even begin by maybe looking up and just telling one person, just telling me that you want to be a follower of Jesus today. And that would just be an act of saying, Jesus is Lord. Amen. May we recognize that there's an outward sign of our faith that shows what's really happening on the inside. And underneath the chairs is a little card. On that card it says, I accepted Christ. I became a Christian. I just encourage you, maybe that's your next step, is that you'd maybe just write your name and check that box and or check on the thing and put it in the box in the back of the room. And just let me know that you're ready to walk with Jesus. And if you're here today on Easter and you're already a believer, you've been a Christian for months or years, that you would consider, do I say Jesus is Lord with my life the way I should? Or is it kind of a secret thing? And I just want to encourage us as a church. Many of you are part of the church family here at Neighborhood Church. May we live lives that with our mouths and with our actions, we say, Jesus is Lord. The world, those that don't follow Jesus, love to look at Christians to see how we're doing. Let's show them what it means to be in love with people, to be in love with God, to live a life of forgiveness and care, what it means to love your enemies, those sort of things that Jesus taught. And I do think the light of Christ will transform our streets, our neighborhoods, and for sure our families. The resurrection is a cornerstone to our faith. What a blessing it's been. Before we go to the table and share and commune together, let me pray for us as a community. Spirit, you're working. We thank you for the work you're doing. May all of us continue to stand on the promises of God, and that we can obey, and that we can do the things that you've asked us, not to be in the family, but because we are in the family. Help us remember you and the work you did today so that you're most glorified. It's in your name. Amen.